Well, I was praying a few weeks ago about today, and God put something on my heart, and I was really confused about it because it didn't seem like it's something that, you know, a guest speaker should be bringing. So I wrestled with it for a couple of weeks and didn't leave. And I'm thinking, and so I thought, well, I better talk to Jeff. So I called Jeff. And he called me back and I said, well, I don't know about this. I just want to run something by you and feel free to tell me you must have fallen off the truck and hit your head or something. And I share with him what I thought I was to do, and he says, I can't believe it. And he says, I've just been doing a series on the four cups, and he says, this fits perfectly. Wow. So, I like God when he does that, even though when I don't understand it. Today, let there be light. Let there be half a light. Maybe not. Someone help me up there. Get this up there going. I really need it. So, what I want to talk about today is communion. And I want to talk about, why do we do this? I went to church more than you have. I absolutely, no matter how old you are, I've gone to church more often than you have. I went to church 5 times a week for the first 18 years of my life. Wow. My father was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. It's all I ever knew. I thought I lived at church. And they let me visit home once in a while to sleep. But there's so many things that often we do in church that we don't really, we just do it, it's what you do. And I want to talk today about why do we celebrate communion? Let's look in our Bibles if you have them. If you're not, I wrote it out for you on the screen in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Where this is where the first record we have of what we call communion. And it says, for I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. So this was from the Lord. This was something that Paul had received from God, not just something, well, I need to do this, not a ritual. From the Lord, I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, think about that. Maybe the worst day of his life, or at least leading up to it. Your friends betrayed you. On the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Now look at this. Do this in remembrance of me. And my question to you today, what are we remembering? Okay, we're going to do it in remembrance, but what are we remembering? We're probably not remembering what he wore or photographs, but what are we remembering? Because Jesus said, whenever you do this, do this in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? The next verse says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. Let's say that word together. Proclaim. What do you do if you proclaim something? You're declaring it. You're announcing it. You do not proclaim it silently. You do not proclaim it when no one notices. The word proclamation is to be announced, is to be declared outwardly. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. A symbol of brokenness. Because that's what his body was going to happen for you and me. And I have 10 things I'm going to put on the screen for us to remember. And then we're going to actually receive communion, and hopefully in a new way, something fresh for you to be able to remember what he did for us. Now, no matter how long you've gone to church, or how old you are, how long you've been a Christian, you're going to learn something today. And I hope that your heart is open to receive something new and fresh from God. Are you open? Because when I did this research, I learned some things, and I've been to church more than you have. And I'm old, too. Me and Moses are friends. So I just really want to challenge us that we take this, something we do regularly, and it becomes more of an act to more of an, oh, my goodness, I'm remembering something. The first thing I want us to remember, as we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. We remember, we no longer fear death. Death is promotion. Death is not something to be feared or to be avoided. Push the next button, Doug. Thank you. It is something to celebrate. Now, I'm not saying, well, if this is really true, we'd all just go, do ourselves in. I'm not suggesting that. But death has been swallowed up in victory. We remember what Jesus did, he conquered death. And it says also in this chapter, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is it? Because I conquered it. Today we remember. We remember that Jesus conquered death. Anybody glad for that?
Amen.
I don't fear death. You know, when you're getting older, you know, as we say, chronologically challenged. You know, you begin to think about how long you're going to live. I've been thinking about that lately. How long am I going to live? I was reading about someone who was 113 that just died, and I was thinking, I don't want to live that long, I don't think. How long are you going to live? We don't think about these things, but you know what? I don't really care when, because death has been conquered. Today, as we receive communion, we remember that death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen. Secondly, we have life. The death of Jesus, the communion that we celebrate, we remember today that his death brought us life. Whoever believes in the Son, how many of you believe in the Son? Yes. Hope some of you get saved soon. Those who believe in the Son, we have life. Yes. And not only life, it says we have it abundantly. We remember today that he provided abundance of life. We're not getting by with the skin of our teeth. Ever think about that phrase? What is the skin of your teeth? Anybody ever think about that phrase? That is really a stupid phrase. Anybody ever have skin on your teeth? Yeah, just a little solid note. If you brush them, yeah. But today we have life. I remember today that I have life in spirit today because of what Jesus did. And I'm remembering that. This do in remembrance of me, I'm remembering that I have life and I have it abundantly. How many of you have life today? How many of you have it abundantly? It's not because you're a good person. It's not because you've found the secrets of life. It's because Jesus went to the cross and he purchased it for you. And we have life. And today we remember that Jesus gave us life. Thirdly, now if you don't get excited about this one, check your pulse to make sure it's still going. Because we have the forgiveness of sin. How many of you have sinned? If you didn't raise your hand, you just sinned right now. You lied. So I got us all included in that. We've all sinned. Amen? If Jesus never did anything else but just to forgive us, he'd be worth serving the rest of our lives. He forgave us. The cross made a provision that nothing else could ever do. Anybody glad that you're forgiven? The cross, we remember today what the cross accomplished. It's a shower. It's a bathing of washing it. Washing it as white as snow. He forgives us. In Psalm 103, verse 3, he says, he forgives all my sin. How much of it? How about the ones before you're a Christian? Is that included in all? How about the ones who said you become a Christian? You knew better. Is that included in those? How about the ones you've done over and over and over and over and over and over again? Is that included in all? How much does he forgive? I was teaching in a particular school, happened to be in Texas, and there's a girl that was in this, and this room was, capacity was 75, and we had 122 in there. It was cozy. And she was kind of right in the middle, and she said that she would have gotten up and walked out on me because she didn't like what I was saying, but she couldn't literally get out because it was just so crowded. And I got started talking about abortion. And she got mad. Well, it happened to be when my week was over, she was assigned to take me to the airport.
Oh, wow.
Well, it came out pretty quickly that she was mad at me. I said, really? Why is that? Oh, what's your attitude about abortion? Really? Why? Doug, you never overcome abortion. I said, well, let's talk about what my Bible says. Doug, you don't understand. You've never had an abortion. Well, that was true. But I have. And you never overcome it. This girl was a staff person of this particular school where I was teaching. Well, I did my best. I talked to her, encouraged her, and I didn't make much progress. I don't know how many of you ever ministered to people and you didn't feel like you made much progress. Anybody ever been there? So she dropped me off and kind of shoved me out of the car. And I just couldn't get her out of my heart. So I began to correspond with her. So it's a long story. I don't have time to go in to tell you the details. Well, this girl, her name is Beverly Klein. And she started an organization called Crisis Pregnancy Centers. There are 65 of them now. And she has found out that God meant all. And now she's taken her freedom, and she has saved thousands upon thousands upon thousands of babies' lives. And now they have an adoption agency, and they call it, and the house that the girls come and stay in as they're preparing to have a baby, they call it the Father Heart House. I had a little bit of a little part of naming that, because she found out God meant all. We remember today. We remember today. He forgives it all. You should rejoice in that. You should be excited about that. He forgives it all. Hallelujah. Number four. It's found in Romans chapter 4. It says we've been justified. Have you ever studied justification? Have you ever studied justification? Anybody theologians here? Well, here's a real simple way to remember it. It's just as if I'd never done it. Simply what it means. Just as if I'd never done it. Justified. Doesn't depend upon what you did. It depends upon what we're remembering today. We're remembering what Jesus did. We are remembering. And he takes all your screw-ups, all your failings, not just the sin, but he justifies. See, there's this mistaken concept. Well, yeah, I know that Jesus went to the cross, he forgives me. But I'm climbing the ladder, and when I sin, shoop, I go back to the bottom of the ladder. Are you with me? That is a lie of hell. To justify means like you never did it, so you don't have to get off the ladder. You don't fall to the bottom. Just as if I'd never done it, you're still in the same place, and we just get up and we go on. That's today what we're remembering, that Jesus provided for us at the cross. And as we commune with him, we're remembering, we are remembering that he justified all my stupidity. Anybody ever been stupid? Anybody ever do dumb things? You think about once in a while, and you just kind of get this sick feeling. Are anybody with me besides me? Yes. He justifies us. He justifies us. That means what? Yeah, but Lord, remember when I did what? Did what? He justifies us. Number five. He invites us to have a relationship with him. In Matthew chapter 27, in verse 55, it says, at that moment, and the moment that we're speaking about is the moment that Jesus died. I want to observe with you, please, that Jesus was watching what was happening. Parents, can you imagine watching your son or daughter be brutally murdered? This was not a pleasant time. This was not a, oh, gee whiz. This was horrible upon horrible. But it says, at that moment, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. And it specifically says from top to bottom. Why does it say from top to bottom? Because heaven did it, not man. It was heaven initiated. It was God accomplished, not man done. Now, this curtain guarded the most significant place in all of Jewish history. It was called the Holy of Holies, or the Ark of the Covenant. And this was guarded by curtains. And one guy, the high priest, could go into that place once a year after much preparation, a lot of shedding of blood of animals, lots of preparation. It took him days to prepare. And finally, he could go in there, and they tied a rope around his ankle in case he dropped dead. At least they could drag him out. And they put bells on the bottom of his garment. And so as he walked, they would ring and ding-a-ling. And so if they could still hear the bells, they knew he was still moving. And if they didn't hear the bells long enough, they just drug him out. Now, this curtain was about 12 to 15 feet high. Think about that. Those top rivets would be about how high the curtain would be. And it was somewhere between 12 and 18 inches thick. It's not like a curtain you have at your house. Even your thickest curtain, even the velour ones that we have of yesteryear, was nothing like this curtain. We don't have anything like it. And this curtain guarded that most significant place in all of Jewish history, the Ark of the Covenant. And the Word of God says, at that moment, and the moment is when Jesus died, and the first time in all of history that a provision had been made that you and I could come into the presence of God because Jesus had died for you and I. We remember that today. We celebrate that today, that he died for us. And God, in his love for us, he longed for us. So he ripped the curtain so that you could come into his presence. Anybody glad you get to pray often, more often than once a year? Anybody glad that we get to go into his presence? And we can come into his presence in our pajamas. You can come in with a stinky attitude. Anybody ever done that? And he says, oh, I'm so glad you came. This is a picture of a father longing for his children, longing to have your fellowship. And he ripped the curtain at the moment, the first moment possible in all of history. He ripped the curtain, and today as we celebrate communion, we remember that he invites us to come into his presence. See, receiving communion is remembering, oh, thank you, Jesus, for making a provision that I could come into your presence. I hope you do not take prayer lightly. I hope that you don't take prayer as this thing we got to do, you know, to satisfy somebody. No, it's a privilege. It's an honor. And it was costly for us to have that privilege. And today, we remember. We remember that he invites us in to his presence. Number six, he gives us peace and rest. You do not have peace unless you receive the provision of the cross of Jesus. Anybody want peace? I did a study of peace one time because I think often what we think is peace is not really the peace of God. It's peace of mind. And often when some bad news happens, you know, someone says, oh, well, your blood test came back and there's something wrong. We want you to need to take another one. What happens? Oh no. Anybody been there? Oh no. All of a sudden peace seems to be kind of flitting out the door because we're worried and nervous. That's the peace of man. It comes through information and it disappears by information. But the peace of God does not come through information. Therefore, information cannot take it away. When I told my father in the hospital, they had just operated on him and they said, they'd given him 2 weeks to live. When I was the one that told him the result of his surgery, they didn't do what they hoped to be able to do because it was worse than they had anticipated. When I told my dad the result, I went over and grabbed his hand and I said, Dad, what's going on? What's going on inside? How do you feel? And he said, this new information you just gave me did not change my God, nor change his promises. That's the peace of God. See, I want to give you a new definition of peace. The peace of God, it says it passes understanding. What does that mean? When you pass somebody in your car, you're ahead of them. They're not holding you up. They're not in any way controlling you because now they're behind you. It passes. Are you with me? It passes. You're beyond it now. And it says it rules. That means it's in charge of our heart. And that word heart there means emotion and our mind. That's where struggles take place. What we think and what we feel. Are you with me? It says it rules that. The peace of God is a gift. It's not come from information. When someone calls you, I just got a bad report from the doctor. What do you say? Well, you know, maybe it won't be so bad. And maybe, you know, we're not sure yet. Are you with me? See, that's the peace of mind. I think we're looking for the wrong peace. The peace of God is a gift. And I'm going to give you a definition of peace. The peace of God is the absence of inner turmoil. The absence of inner turmoil. When I have no turmoil, I'm at peace. And we remember that Jesus paid a high price to give us peace. And today we remember what he did. He bought us peace. He purchased for us peace that passes understanding. Number 7. He provided for us healing. By his stripes. How many stripes did Jesus receive? Anybody know? 39. Anybody know why 39? 40 was considered death. So they did as close as they could possibly get. Those of you that are in the medical science and all, there's 39 basic arenas or categories of disease. By his stripes, we are healed. Today I remember that he provided healing. And I want to challenge you, even as you receive communion today, I've talked to many people as they received communion and they remembered they received healing at that time. Anybody glad for healing? If we went around the room and discussed healing, we'd probably be here till next Sunday. Just for those of us in the room, story after story after story. Remember my grandmother being blind, and my mom going to see her was for the last time, and she says, God, would you do a miracle? Would you restore my mom's sight so she can see me one more time? She walked in the room, and instantly my grandmother could see. She saw for an hour. Then she went blind again, and she died about a week later by his stripes. We are healed. Today we remember that the cross of Jesus, the provision of this broken body, he provided for us. I remember what he did for us. Number 8. He carried our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Anybody glad for the provision of the cross? Anybody glad for that? Amen. The primary thing we talk about the cross is that we don't have to go to hell. That's a good thing. Anybody glad you don't have to go to hell? I hope you're glad about that. Because I don't recommend it. Not a good idea. But you know what? There are no griefs and there are no sorrows in heaven. Never has been. There never will be. He was not speaking about heaven. He was speaking about now. It says, he carried. He carried. I want you to notice the word. It's past tense. See, I am carrying this stool. I carried it. It's done. It's done. He carried. Anybody ever gone to a restaurant with a friend, have a little friendly argument who's going to pay the bill? Anybody ever done that? And your friend wins. We put that wins kind of. And they pay the bill. You know what? It'd be really stupid to go pay it again. Hello? It'd be really stupid to go pay the bill again, because once it's paid, it has been paid. He said he carried. He's done it already. You don't have to carry your griefs. You don't have to carry your sorrows. Be the cross of Jesus paid the price. And today we remember. We remember what he did. He carried. How much of your griefs? How much? How about the ones you caused yourself? Anybody ever caused yourself grief? How about the ones that was just so wrong that someone else, you were innocent? Does it include those? He carried. So you don't have to. And that's what we are remembering today. He carried our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Number 9. He says, oh, shoot. Sorry, it's kind of complicated how to do this. I got to go switch my... Push up the word play up here. Just click on there. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly, and what? Rich. And what? Richly. Does that sound like a little bit? No. If you're rich, you don't have a little. Richly blesses. Let's say it together. Richly blesses. Come on, say it. Richly blesses. Why do we have this? Because of what Jesus did. Overabundance. Because of what Jesus did. And he richly blesses all who come on it, call on his name. And listen to this. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Listen to it now. And he adds no trouble to it. Now, I don't happen to be a teacher of the prosperity gospel. It is my opinion, and I say this carefully and lovingly, I think it's out of balance. It basically teaches Christian selfishness. I'm not a proponent of prosperity, but I am a believer in the blessing of God. Is it okay to have nice things? You know why they did not rip Jesus' garment? Because the robe was so nice, they didn't dare tear that beautiful. If you put it in today's terms, it was a designer robe. And the gifts that the wise men brought, the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we have done research, and that lasted Joseph and Mary enough finances for the rest of their life. Have nice things? Jesus did. I'm not teaching prosperity. Please hear the balance. I'm talking about what the scripture says, the blessing of the Lord. Anybody want the blessing of the Lord? You know why we can have it? Because Jesus purchased it for us. Jesus went to the cross. And if you are blessed, it's because of what we're remembering today. And we are remembering what Jesus did. Oh, I love that last phrase. Look at it. It says, and he adds no trouble to it. And the last one. The symbol of communion, what we call communion, is we don't really understand it because you and I are not Jewish, or most of us don't understand Jewish traditions. See, if you were a Jewish young person, you would not decide who you're going to marry. Your parents would make that choice for you. How many of you would like that? How many would hate it? Your parents pick out. How many parents want to pick out who your kids are going to marry? A little double standard there. Yeah, me too. But see, once the two families found each other, the boy's family would pay the girl's family what is called a dowry. And that was a price just for the privilege of marrying this girl. And once the dowry was paid, then the bridegroom was required by tradition to go build a house. He did not start the house until the dowry was paid. But the only person that can decide when the wedding was going to be was the bridegroom's father. Because if it was up to the bridegroom, he'd just put up a tent and say, good enough, let's have a wedding. But dad says, no, 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 son. See, in those days, they didn't move around. They just built a house, and they moved in, and they were there their whole lives. And they built it large enough for the hope to have the children, they hoped to have for this marriage, and the Jewish families were large. But the dad waited until the house was complete. Anybody catching any symbolism here? Who is the bride of Christ? Hello, who's the bride of Christ? We are. Was her dowry paid? Yes. Highest price that was ever paid for a bride was paid for you. You must be special. Joyce, come here. And now the dowry was paid. And now what's the bridegroom? Who is the bridegroom, by the way? Who is it? What's he doing? He's building our house. It must be an incredible house. It's taken him 2,000 years so far. He is a carpenter. That's funny. And someday, I think it's going to be soon, the father will say, okay, son. Let's have a wedding. Now, you won't be quiet that day. Now, that will be a party. Yes. Amen? Amen? Now, they went through a little ceremony to make it official. The bridegroom would go to this possible bride, and he would say, this is New Covenant, and he would offer her this cup of wine. And if she were to take it and take a drink, then she accepted his proposal. You accept? Thank you. Aww. Thank you. And so, thanks. What we call communion is really a marriage proposal. Jesus took the cup of wine. And he said, this is a new covenant. By the way, why they said new is because Israel was moving from multiple wives to one wife. And so they were making sure they understood that the women were, you were the one. You're not one of many. You are the one. And so when he said new covenant, that was why he said new, because they were moving from multiple to single. This is a new covenant. So when Jesus took the cup, he said, this is a new covenant. Then he said, in my blood, I promise I'll come back to marry you. I promise. My covenant is that I give you a promise by shedding my blood. The ushers are going to come now, and we are going to have the opportunity to remember. To remember what Jesus did. And this is what we're doing today. We're remembering. We're remembering that he died. He conquered death. He gives us life. We remember that he bought us peace. That he forgives and forgives it all. We remember that he justifies us. We don't fall to the bottom of the ladder. We stay right where we were and keep on going. Because the justification of God is different than the world's system. Hallelujah. And today, we're our remembering. And he's in asking us, will you marry me? I want to encourage you to come and receive the elements, but then go somewhere by yourself to actually take them. And I want you to take one or two or three of these 10, and as you receive that, just thank God. Thank God that you forgive me. I'll go through them one more time so they're fresh on your mind, just so we know what we're remembering. We know that he conquered death. He gives us life. He forgives our sin. He justifies us. He invites us into a relationship with him by tearing the curtain. He gives us peace, has healing. He carried our griefs and our sorrows. He promises us blessing, and then he invites us, ask us to marry him. As we receive today this communion, By the way, the word communion is simply is asking union to come between him and I. It's an easy way to remember. Come, union. Asking union to be a part of my relationship with him. Come, union. And as you come, I want to encourage you to go take the elements and then go somewhere. Back to your seat or the side, wherever you want to go, and just take a few moments to remember. To remember. If you want to go back to your seat and take your notes and remember all 10, that's fine. But today we're remembering. And I want to also encourage you in the future when you receive communion, don't let this become a ritual. Remember what we're remembering. As often as you do this, he says, you do this in remembrance, and we're remembering what he did. Go take it somewhere and remember and think of four. And then after a few moments, then we're going to respond to him in worship. So come. Which of those are you most grateful for? Which of those 10 just kind of, oh, thank you, God. Make sure you thank him for it before you receive or as you receive. We're remembering today. We're remembering all that he accomplished. Salvation is free, but it surely was costly. I want to encourage us to respond to what we're remembering in worship. That is an appropriate response. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you did. The worship team is going to lead us. And when you have finished your remembering, I want to encourage you to stand and respond to the Lord in worship. If you need prayer for something, this has brought up something you need, the worship, the ministry teams will be up here. And just come, they'll be standing here. Just come up and they will be more than glad to pray with you. But let's remember. And such an appropriate response. We remember by worshiping.